The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we are to examine ourselves, whether we're in the faith. And you know, we have to be careful that we don't examine ourselves, by ourselves. And examine ourselves according to our own understanding, our own opinion of what's right and wrong, of how I should be. Because, you know, the Bible says every man's ways are right in his own eyes. So if it's something I thought of, it must be right. If it was my perspective, it must be correct. But what we need is the mind of Christ. We need to hear from the Lord. He's the Spirit of truth. Amen. And He will lead us into all truth. So you and I are not capable of properly examining ourselves without the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God working together, amen, to bring light, to bring exposure to what's really going on. And before we're even in position to get healed, to get set free, we have to first come to the knowledge of the truth, amen. So the first thing is truth. The entrance of His Word brings light, all right? Where there's light, darkness can no longer exist. But we have to have a heart that's open and pliable and prepared to receive the Word, so that that light does enter into our deepest being. Amen? Because there's a lot of people who are constantly hearing messages, but there's no change. And a lot of it is because of an unrepentant attitude towards God. If a person is not broken before God and repentant towards God, they can, you know, receive all kinds of information and maybe make some changes. But the Word of God will only be some self-improvement tips for them rather than something that will transform. God wants to change us. He wants to transform us. He doesn't want to patch us up, right? He wants to make us new. And so how can I know if I am abiding in Christ? Jesus said that we must abide in Him, amen, John 15. How can I know that? And so I've shared some of these with you before, but I just kind of want to develop it a little further and remind us once again that these are the qualities, you know, of a true follower of Jesus, a Christian. How can I even identify who a true Christian is versus a false Christian? Amen. There are a lot of people that name the name of Christ and consider themselves to be Christian. But how do I know who is a true Christian? And how do I even know if I'm a true Christian? Well, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit help us to understand that. And so when you ask the question, when we hear somebody preaching, or they're sharing their faith, we need to ask the question, well, what Jesus are they presenting? You know, there's a liberal Jesus being presented today. You know, that soft on sin that just is allowing people to do whatever they want. And so it's a Jesus of their own creation. It's an idol. It's an idol. Amen. It's not the true Jesus. How many know that our true Jesus is holy and He hates sin because sin is destructive? Amen. Sin is a result of the fall and He came to redeem us from it and break its power over our lives, amen, through the cross. So is there Jesus also the only way to God? 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So this it's not God and Mary, God and saints, God and Buddha, Allah, whatever else. There is one mediator between what? God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So we need to ask the question when we hear somebody speaking, what Jesus are they presenting? Is there Jesus just one of many ways to God? Because some people think that way. And a true Christian who has the Holy Spirit in them will have the teacher within them that will bear witness to the truth that when they are speaking, amen, there will be a witness of God's Spirit in that. In your heart, you will know by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God whether they are speaking truth or not. Because you and I, in our own understanding and our own ability, are incapable of knowing what is true. Many times in our own understanding, we have believed something that was untrue as though it were. We've been deceived, haven't we? By believing a lie as though it were true. So the only way for us to really know truth is by the Spirit of truth, and that's why we must walk carefully and closely with the Lord, because He gives us this thing called discernment. A person that walks closely with Jesus has a keen perception of what is true and false, of what is of God and what is not. A person that is backslidden or is distant from God can very quickly become blinded, even to their own folly and their own sin, and become aware of where they're really at in the Lord. And so that's why we need to examine ourselves in light of the Word of God and by the Spirit of the Lord, who is the Spirit of truth, who will reveal to us where we stand. 1 John 5:1 says this, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him, the Father, who begot, also loves Him who is begotten of Him." That's the Son. So if a person truly loves God, they will love Jesus, amen, as well as the Father. So if there's somebody that claims that God has no son, such as in Islam, amen, this is that spirit of Antichrist, all right, because they deny the Son. And whoever denies the Son is also denying the Father. They don't have the Father either, amen. Anyone that would try to take Jesus off, amen, his throne, and reduce him to simply a mere man who was progressive in his views and maybe maybe even attained some type of godhood, such as the Mormons, I think it is, who they believe that Jesus was actually a man who became God, okay, which is the spirit of Antichrist as well. Because the Bible is very clear that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word was what? With God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God Emmanuel, right? God in us. God in man. So we need to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus do we believe and accept. And what Jesus do others preach, amen, and teach. Because in 1 John 2:22 it says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." And remember in Matthew 16:16, when Jesus was asking the disciples, "Well, who do men say that I am?" Who did Peter say he was? He says, "You are what? The Christ, the Son of the living God." Huh, how did he know that? Well, the Father had revealed that to him, right? He couldn't have known who Jesus was except by revelation. And you and I cannot know God except by revelation, except that the Spirit of the Lord reveals God to us. Amen? A theological seminary is not going to necessarily bring people to a saving knowledge of God. You can have all kinds of theology, amen, and yet not have the God that you're learning about. Amen. Now, is it important to study the Word? Absolutely. But we need to study it in light of, amen, the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. He will lead us, amen, into truth. And if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, then you have a teacher with you. Amen. And whatever you hear, you need to say, "Lord, what about this? Holy Spirit, show me if this is of you or not. Even whatever I say to you." Amen. It doesn't matter who it is. When you hear somebody preaching or teaching, so often people don't even examine, they don't even check it out. They just accept it because, well, he had one of those funny collars on, so I must make him a holy man or something, you know, or whatever. You know, we need to be careful of what we receive, man, because what you receive can determine what you become and how you live and what you receive also, right? So the Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to be teaching. You and I today are allowed by God to partner with Him through the Holy Spirit, amen, and to teach by the Spirit of the Lord. So we preach the gospel sent down from heaven, amen, the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, and we preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you hear someone teaching, you hear somebody preaching, you need to ask the question, is the Holy Spirit present? Because Pharisees, amen, can preach a sermon. People that don't have God can preach a sermon. So to determine who a true believer is, you need to know that this person is possessed by the same Holy Spirit, amen, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That the Spirit of the Lord is in him. Because if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Just because somebody can preach a good message does not mean that they're of God. I have sat under teaching before that was very accurate theologically sound. And one time when we're out in this one particular church, I don't tell you where it's at, but we had a guy come in, and very quickly he was able to get the pastor to yield to him and allow him the pulpit. And the guy could preach, and he could get people to cry and respond to an altar call and all that. But the guy was a complete charlatan. He was out to get money from the churches. Okay? And we later discovered they had five pallets of, I guess, paperwork on this guy. And he was actually an ex-con. He had gotten out. And the guy that he had celled with, okay, well, he got with that guy's wife. And he claimed to be Dennis Bennett Jr. Okay, Dennis Bennett, a great reformist, I think, for the Episcopal Church. All right. And so they're going around and they're hitting and they're looking for churches that, you know, may not be susceptible or very discerning. And of course, he was discovered, praise God, shortly after that. But, you know, the reason I'm saying that is because there are some people who can preach. There are people that have charisma. There are people that are persuasive. You see that in the political arena. Some people can preach and they can sound so convincing. And they can present a message of hope that may be a complete false narrative. But if you are not able to read or discern the spirit behind that person, you can very well believe that to be true. And that person is authentic. So we need to be very careful, because even the elect could be deceived in the last days, Jesus said. We need to be very discerning. And we're only going to be as discerning as we are close to the one who is able to show us the way and make clear the path. And so it's not a time for us to be lazy, amen, in our Christian walk and our relationship with the Lord. Somebody say amen. Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying," what? "Abba, Father." So a true child of God will have the Holy Spirit in them. Romans 8:9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His." So again, an unsaved person might be able to preach quite well. But you'll eventually know them if you're discerning by their fruits. The fruit of their life, okay? I've met quite a few people who are quite convincing, and they're very versed in Christianese, right? Yeah. But eventually, you know, guess what? A tree is known, right? So there's plenty of unsaved motivational speakers that can get a crowd roused up. And, you know, even Hitler was a motivational speaker, amen? And look how many people he was able to influence, except those who truly had the Spirit of the Lord in them, amen, and were discerning. They would be able to realize that this guy is not good, all right, even though he could speak smooth things and can be very convincing in what he was presenting. All right, so a true Christian is someone who lives a righteous life, amen. How do we know? By the fruit, right? 1 John 2:29, "If you know that he, God, is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he made him who knew no sin," that would be Jesus, "to be sin for us," or to be our sin offering, "that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Our righteousness is from who? Christ, right? He makes us righteous. "For we are," Ephesians 2:10, "his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Walk in good works. Not as a means to justification, but because we are justified and in right standing, our lives will bear good fruit. We'll have good works. Somebody say amen. A true Christian is one who obeys God, obeys His commandments. Amen. That means someone who not only hears, but they do what God says. 1 John 2:3. "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." How do we know that we know Him? By keeping His commandments. "And he who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Now there's a way to examine yourself. Does it look like Jesus? Is my walk like his? Well, I don't know about you. I haven't arrived at that, but I'm wanting to be changed. I'm wanting to be more and more like Jesus. Amen. And there is some fruit, but God wants to bring us into a place of what? Much fruit, much fruit. And you and I, apart from Jesus, we can't do anything. We really can't produce the kind of fruit that God accepts or approves of. So Hebrews 10:16 says, "This is the new covenant," or the covenant, "that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." And he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Praise God. So God gives us his Spirit. And with the Spirit comes the Word. Amen? God actually puts his law, amen, what is it? The Spirit of the law, of the Spirit of life in Christ. It's the law of the Spirit. So when you have the Holy Spirit, amen, God, in a sense, has written that law on your tablets of your heart by the Spirit, amen, so that you know what pleases the Lord and what doesn't. The key is that you must be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not a child of God. Amen? And we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. And we also need to be able to discern others, whether they're in the faith or not. And who you're going to place yourself under, who you're going to sit under, who you're going to listen to. There are a lot of teachers, amen, a lot of preachers out there today. And YouTube is full of it, isn't it? I mean, literally full of it. And so you got to be careful, right? There's some good stuff out there, but guys, you know, some people, they don't have any discernment because they're just relying on some man, amen, to do all the teaching to them, amen? And they're not relying on the Holy Spirit to help them decipher what is of God, to know what is true and what is false. You got to have your own personal relationship with God, amen? So important that you even feed yourself, amen? Don't rely upon one meal a week, all right? Get into the Word on your own. Study, right, to show yourself approved. A workman that doesn't need to be what? Ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be, praise God, we've got the word of God, the Bible available to us. Amen? So, another sign of a person who is really a follower of Jesus or Christian is that they don't habitually live in sin. You know, there are a lot of people that claim to be Christians, but then you look at their life and you say, wait a minute, that's not bearing the fruit of Christ at all. You know, so we got to be careful, amen, that we're not deceived and that we're not deceived by others. 1 John 3:9 says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." Now, this thing where it talks about does not sin, it's speaking of a constant or habitual behavior. In other words, a habit of sin. All right? In Christ Jesus, you and I are set free from the power of sin. So a person who habitually lives in sin is not a child of God. They're unrepentant. And you're not saved until you're repentant. Somebody say amen. You're repentant towards God, and then God breaks the power of sin in your life through the blood, and he seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? And Christ comes within you. Amen? And you have a repentant heart and an attitude of repentance. I don't know about you, but I need to call on the Lord often. Amen? I mean, I just say, Lord, forgive me for that thought or whatever, that attitude, whatever it was. You know, you have that fear of the Lord in you. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord bears witness with your spirit. Amen. When you get out of line, you get out of step with him, he's there to remind you of where you need to be. And so it means that they don't defiantly continue in sin. A true child of God, right? Now, a true Christian will also be hated by the world. And people who love this world are not going to like you. It's okay. Jesus said you need to expect people of this world are not going to like you, right? I know we like to be liked by everybody, right? We just want to be friends with everybody. And this is the problem in America, I think, is because there's been so much compromise with sin and tolerance to the degree that we've allowed our nation to be taken over. by people who are godless. Amen? Because God's people have compromised and have not stood up for what is true. But God gives us power by His Holy Spirit. He gives us boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can stand strong in Him and strong in the truth. Amen? And not bow down, all right, to the spirit of Antichrist that's pressing in on every way. God gives us power over the devil. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world, right? If you got Christ in you, then you have power by the Holy Spirit to live, amen, a life that honors God and that has overcome the world. Amen. There's no reason for us to say, well, I couldn't. Yes, you could. You just decided to. Right? 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." So all the commandments are fulfilled in this command to love. Isn't that right? If I'm loving you, amen, I'm not going to steal. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to lie about you, right? If I love you, I'm not going to, you know, try to take advantage of a sister or a brother, amen, and defraud them. If we're walking in love, then the fulfillment of the commandments is in that. Namely, Jesus said, "A new commandment, what I give you, that you love." The command to love, and that's the agape love of God. And you and I are not capable of loving except by the Spirit of the Lord, who His love will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit, you see. So we can love people. We can bless those who curse us. We can pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us because God has given us the grace by His Spirit to do the opposite of what the world might be doing. Amen, somebody. So for this is the message that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. Now, why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brothers, if the world hates you. Now, think about this. You and I irritate people in the world. If we're living a holy life, if we're living a consecrated life, I mean, a life that's really committed to the Lord, set apart for the Lord. Amen. The world's not going to like you because you're dancing to a completely different flute. Amen. You're following the Lord now. You're in league with Jesus. Amen. And there's a contrast between light and darkness. They cannot cohabitate. So therefore, the world is not going to like you. They're going to hate you because you're making them miserable. You know you're in Christ. You know you're abiding in the Lord when not everybody's your friend, when people don't like you because of your witness. Amen? If we truly have a witness for Jesus, people are going to hate you. And sometimes you're going to say, "Why do they hate me?" Well, Jesus said, don't be surprised. Get over it. Get over yourself, all right? It's not about you anyways. It's God that they hate. And we love one another, don't we? Because we're God's people. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. You know, when you love someone, you want to be with them. When you love the brethren, when you love God's people, you want to be with them. You don't want to stay away from them, isolate yourself from them. But when you love people, you want to be with them. Come on, somebody. It's a good way to examine yourself. If my heart's right with God, my heart will be right with my brethren. Amen. I'll be at peace, and I want to be with God's people. I delight in God's people now. Before, I didn't want to be around God's people. Now, I delight in them. I love it when we get together with God's people, man, and we can talk about Jesus for hours and not get tired because God is life, amen, and we're speaking life. And when you're hanging around people that know God, amen, there's a kindred spirit there, if you will, in the spirit. We're family, amen, so an obvious way to determine whether one is right with God or in Christ is that they have love for the body of Christ. They have love for God's people and want to be with God's people. Amen. And Jesus said in John 3 that this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, and they don't what? Come into the light. Lest their deeds be exposed. Those is an exposure by the light. Amen? And when you're in the world, you don't want to be in the light. When you're in darkness, you avoid the light. Amen. And so if you're the light and you just come in and you're like a spotlight coming on. Amen. It's like, ah! It's like the cockroaches again, right? You hit the light and they're all like scrambling. It's like, get me away from this. Amen. Except for those who God has identified and prepared their hearts, they're going to be wanting to know what you have. They're going to have a hunger to know truth. I remember hearing a story from a friend of mine. He passed away recently, Jim. His name was Jim. Not the Jim from here, but a Jim that I've known, Eckel, and from Tumwater. But he was telling me that he got hungry for God, and he didn't even really know what was going on, except he wanted to know God. He had heard about Christians, and he'd seen church stuff, and he'd heard a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But he knew he didn't know God, but he wanted to know God. And he went on this journey, and he said he visited all these churches. And he said he went to this one, he went to that one. But he says nobody was like really answering his questions. And he went, of course, he went to somebody that they didn't know God. So how are they going to be able to present Jesus to him if they don't have Jesus, right? So he said that was his thing. And then finally he ended up and he just kind of contacted some guy. He was wandering around the neighborhood or something. And he went into this church and this guy happened to know the Lord. And he was able to lead him to Jesus. But guys, this is a reality. There are places of worship where people can come and they can come lost and leave lost because they've never been presented with the true gospel or the Jesus that can save. Amen. And we need to make sure that we're preaching the true Jesus. Amen. The Jesus that saves. Hallelujah. Because a true child of God, a believer, is an overcomer. We've overcome. Amen. Not because we just tried real hard, but because the power of God enables us to be an overcomer. We don't have to be subject to the things of this world. We don't have to be a slave to sin anymore because God has broke the power of that sin in our lives. 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Our faith. Our confidence in God. Our trust in His ability to see us through every situation. In the New Living Translation, it says, for every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. My confidence in my Lord. Amen. We dare not trust our own. Amen. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. So we don't trust in self. We trust in the living God who's able to save. Amen. And you and I come to Him with a heart that is broken and humbled and saying, God, I know I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I can't save me. But God, I'm sick and tired of my way and my life the way it's been and being double-minded and up and down like a roller coaster. God, I'm repentant, truly repentant, and I'm coming to You. And God, I'm going to give You the whole offering. I'm not just going to give You part of me. Amen. How many know that thing that you want to hold on to will keep you tethered to the world and keep you a slave to the world? I mean, God is saying, get rid of it, get rid of it. Amen. You don't need it. You don't want it. If God says it's not good, it's not good. I think the manufacturer knows the product. Amen. And He knows what's good in our lives. We got to be smarter than that. Amen. And say, God, if You say no, it's no for me too. If it's yes, it's yes for me. And you know, if we would spend ourselves, amen, doing the yeses, we won't have time for the noes. Amen. Some people are so bogged down with, am I doing this wrong and doing this wrong? How about, what are you doing for Jesus? Just partner with Jesus, live your life together with Him, and you're not concerned about all that stuff. That stuff doesn't get on you. You know, idleness can be a problem. How many know what I'm talking about? If you become idle, you become kind of neutral, lazy, you know, in that place. Boy, and all of a sudden the enemy can kind of work in there, can't he? He can get you kind of preoccupied with other things. All right, to fill your mind with other things and you can start drinking from the polluted stuff of this world, you know, and find yourself being sick spiritually, amen? But God given us the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God's in you, He'll convict you. You got to say, yes, Lord, I'm done with that, amen? I'm done with the world, the flesh, and the devil. I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. Because I know that He has the way. He is the way to eternal life. So there it is again. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And then he says, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." How do we live? By faith in the Son of God. Faith in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're examining ourselves here, guys. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves? Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the Corinthian church. Say, he's speaking to me. He says, "Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified or reprobate." Guys, I've said this many times, but one of my greatest concerns is that I haven't presented the truth in such a way that people fully understand what it means to be saved and that they are truly, indeed, saved. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because I run into a lot of people who I don't believe, and there's no witness in my spirit that they're actually a child of God, and yet they're convinced that they are. And how can I say that? Because when I look at their life, there's no fruit. And you even have some people that have a remorseful moment. And in the moment, they're remorseful and they mean, you know, to get things right. But they don't have a repentant heart. So even though they're upset about their sin and upset about the problem, if they don't have a repentant heart that's willing to turn away from that and forsake it, they'll go right back into that same hog pen that they came out of. Amen? And so we have to be repentant towards God and say, we're cutting the cords. We're cutting the strings, amen? No attachments to the old life, the old way. From now on, I'm going to give myself fully to the Lord. I'm going to walk with Him every day. We're going to commune, amen, in the Spirit, and God's going to teach me. He's going to show me the way in which I should walk. And as I walk together with Jesus, amen, in communion, automatically I will bear the fruit of God. Why? Because the fruit comes from Him. So as we abide in Him and He abides in us, we will bear much fruit and the Father will be glorified. Amen. So I just asked that question. God, how is it some people, they can respond to an altar call, even in tears, and then go right back out and continue in their sin? And this is what the Lord told me. He says, because they are unrepentant. I'm not saying they weren't remorseful or sorry about it. There's a difference. Repentance means I've changed my mind. I'm no longer going there. I fear God. Jesus said, fear Him who can kill body and cast soul into hell. I tell you, fear Him. Because there's coming a day of judgment. Did you know that? It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And some sins will go beforehand. Some will follow after. Today is an opportunity that God gives. His grace is God saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to repent. His grace is not an opportunity to sin. Amen. It's an opportunity for us to get right with God in the time of His favor. A time when God is pouring out His Spirit and saying, come. Get that monkey off your back. Amen. Deal with the sin problem. Lay it at the cross and take up your cross and follow me daily. Jesus says, where I am, there my servant will be also. In Luke 13:1, I want to finish with this today. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now, apparently there was some situation where the Galileans had come to offer sacrifices in Jerusalem, and Pilate had massacred them. And then he mingled their blood with the sacrifices. And in verse 2, Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? In other words, they were coming with an attitude to worship God, amen, and to make sacrifices to the Lord, amen, for their sin. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then in verse 4, he said, or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What is he saying? Guys, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Examine yourself. Otherwise, we can give ourselves grace, but the grace we give ourselves cannot save us. We need to let God do that work, amen, of convicting, convincing us, and bringing us to true repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone to save us, amen. Not only to save us, but to keep us. His grace is sufficient for us, guys. And when you stumble, get back up, get back in the race. Amen. Simply turn to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it again. Don't repeat it. Get out of it. Amen. If you need help getting out of it, call on the Lord. Amen. Ask Him for the power to get out of it. Amen. In some cases, you may need to call on brothers and sisters. Amen. Let them pray with you and help you. Amen. Through that. You may need some deliverance in your life. Amen. Don't be afraid to reach out to somebody. Amen. If you got something that's controlling you, amen, you're having a struggle with, that's why we got the family. Amen. We got brothers and sisters. We're here to minister to one another. Amen. Don't be too proud, all right? Admit, hey, we are in this together, aren't we? We're all a work in progress. Amen. Let's just be honest before the Lord. Amen. Before one another. We don't need any fakes. Amen. God, He won't honor fakery. Is there fakery a word? It is now. We need to be authentic. We need to be real. Amen. Guys, thank you for coming today and listening. I pray that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord has imparted something that will be helpful for you, not only in examining yourself, but also so that you can discern between what is of God, what is not, to know who would true child of God is, who is a true Christian. Amen. And Jesus simply said, a tree is known by its fruit. By their fruits you shall know them. So just because somebody claims to be a follower of God doesn't mean that they truly are. Their life will demonstrate that. And guys, I don't know about you, but I've blown it a few times in my Christian experience. Amen. But what do we do when we do that? Amen. We don't let the devil kick us and keep us down. Amen. We run to the advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we call upon Him. And He's got mercy. He's got grace. Amen. And we can live in that freedom. Hallelujah. Today, we can walk in freedom. Well, I'm not going to invite everybody to come down to the front today, but right where you're at, you know, is there something that God has been dealing with you about in your life, in your heart? Maybe something you need to let go of, something you need to repent of, something you need to forsake. That the Spirit of God, He's been pleading with you, and you know He's not going to do it forever, guys. He gives you a season to repent and an opportunity to repent. Otherwise, you'll end up becoming hardened in your heart towards God and insensitive to His Spirit. So if the Lord has been dealing with you today about anything that you've heard, or maybe as I was speaking, God dropped something in you. He spoke to your heart about something that He wants you to forsake or get rid of. Or an attitude that you need to change. Or something that you should be doing and you're not doing. I want you to take time right now between you and Jesus, amen, to deal with that. The Bible says confess your faults, amen, to one another. And pray for one another that you might be healed. But it also says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So take that time right now before the Lord. Maybe you need to rededicate your life today. Maybe you need to recommit your way to Him. Maybe you've been kind of in a place of apathy or complacent in your walk. And you just need God to restoke the fires within you, to reignite the flame within you, to infuse you with divine dunamis, His power from on high. And Father, I pray right now, release your dunamis, Lord. Release your Spirit. O breath of God, breathe upon us right now. O breath of God, come from the four winds, God, and breathe upon, Lord, your people right now. In Jesus' name, we welcome you. We invite you, Holy Spirit. Come do that work in our hearts right now, God. Grant repentance, God, in our lives. Grant us repentance unto life to escape the snare of the fowler, Lord, the trap of the adversary. Give us, Lord God, a heart that is right and that is true before you, Lord. A steadfast spirit. Help us, God. Grant us grace, Father. Grant us power. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for forgiveness, Lord. Thank you, God, for your promises are yea and amen. They're true. Father, I pray your kingdom come and will be done in every one of our lives. Make us ready for you. Prepare us for eternity. Deliver us, Lord, from the world and the ways of the world. That our hearts will be shed abroad, Lord, with the love of God, and that our hearts will burn and yearn for you, God, that we will love you more than anything else, God. That you will be first in our lives, Lord, that we will seek you first and seek you above everything else. Thank you for taking care of us, Lord. As we do that, you'll take care of us. Father, thank you that provision is on its way for those who have been searching and seeking and calling on you. That's for somebody today. That provision is on its way. Know that the Lord is with you. He hears you. He's going to rescue. He's faithful. And he is true. Father, we just pray that you would release your healing virtue, your healing anointing right now, Father, upon the body. Father, we pray that you would protect us, Lord, from sickness and from disease. And God, that you will heal the infirmities of our bodies, the sickness, God, that would come on this mortal body. We pray that you'd regenerate us, that you'd quicken us with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Father, right now we take authority over sickness and disease and over demons that would cause sickness and disease. And we command you in the authority of Jesus Christ, take your hands off God's people now. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, we love you and thank you for your goodness. And thank you for new babies, Lord. Bless the new baby, Father, with your righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And God, raise her up to be a mighty woman of faith, of virtue, and character, God, a strong woman of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.